All right, well, hey, everybody. Welcome back here to Racing Hotspot. It's Tuesday, March 12th. My name's Devin Poslesny. I'm joined by Mr. Jordan Jenkins here. Jordan, we took a week off just because, well, I'll be honest, my schedule just did not allow for us to record a podcast last week. Every time we went to do something, something happened. Something came up. But we're going to put, that was Las Vegas, so we're going to just put that in the rear view. Kyle Larson went out and dominated that race, had a good run at the end there by Tyler Reddick. Almost got to him. Larson did exactly what he needed to do, though, and blocked him aerodynamically and with his car in general. And it results in Kyle Larson going on to win Vegas for what feels like the third time in a row, I think, or something like that.
Maybe like the 50th time in a row,
yeah,
I think.
Feels like he just...
Might be the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know why we were on the race. Just give him the trophy.
Give him a win.
No, I'm just kidding. But overall...
The only trophy he didn't get that weekend was the pole.
I mean, overall, it was seemed like a pretty sane weekend in Vegas. Then, obviously, now that was also Formula One's first weekend of the season, which Max Verstappen won the world championship. And that he beat, I think he won. Soccer. What did he win by? Like 20 something seconds?
What, on Saturday?
And not this past Saturday in Bahrain. But
the opener?
Yeah, it was a lot to a little.
He won by 22 seconds.
Yes. And then, yeah. Then this past weekend.
In the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, he won by 13 seconds.
All right, so we're getting closer. We're getting closer. Maybe by the end of the season, we can win.
Maybe the last race of the season, I'll figure out how to get past him.
I'm seeing a trend here. So anyways, yeah, so then this past weekend, Formula One ran their second race of the season, Saudi Arabia Grand Prix, where Verstappen won again.
The underdog story continued. What an underdog story he is.
Jordan is just something else. I'm not sure. I didn't catch any of the other race or the highlights or anything like that, but, that track always puts on a good race. One of the reasons why I want to buy the new F1 game, because it has that race track on it. But anyways, IndyCar started their season this weekend, St. Petersburg Grand Prix, and we'll talk about that. And then, of course, also in the Cup Series or in the NASCAR world, we had ARCA run on Friday night, Xfinity run on Saturday, and now Cup Series on Sunday. So that's kind of your quick recap here of of the weekend and yeah. So first of all, Jordan, how's life been? How are things going in your world? You had some exciting motorsports news come out. You got a new job for this summer.
I did. I am the series announcer. I'm not going to say broadcaster yet. Because that could be news that's coming at some point, but I am the series announcer for the Modified Racing Series.
Modified Racing Series, or MRS, up here in New England.
Yep.
Great, great series. We covered a couple of their races, and just they're great people to work with. And yeah, you mentioned not announcing broadcaster yet. Right now, just the PA announcer. But yeah, no, the potential that they're gonna broadcast their races is there. That's as much as I'm gonna say. But yeah, so congratulations on that news.
Thank you.
MRS schedule can be found at the Modified Racing Series website. First race is New London Waterford Speed Bowl in Connecticut on the 4th of May. May the 4th be with you. You're welcome. He still keeps showing up, folks. I've been making these.
I don't know why I do it to myself.
I was gonna say I make these silly dad jokes all the time, and Jordan still shows up when I ask. So, and sometimes he just shows up unannounced, but that's beside the point. So congratulations. On my end, not much has been happening. We're kind of in between seasons, and we covered. Last weekend, was it? We covered 22 games across two states. in 4 venues. It was insane, but we made it work, and we pulled it all off. So let's talk racing, because that's the whole reason why you're here, right? People at home, you're not looking for us to sit there and talk about our social lives. That's a different podcast. But let's talk racing first with this weekend. Let's go in order. Let's start with Friday night ARCA. So I will say I didn't catch much of the race. I know that I tuned in towards the end, and then there was a lightning delay, and then for the first time ever, it rained in the desert. All right, not fully.
I think it's the first time in a few years that rain has impacted a NASCAR race too, I think, to be honest.
NASCAR race at Phoenix, yeah.
Obviously, I'm kidding, but...
Well, I get what you're saying. No, I was going to say, maybe the first time in a few years it's impacted a Phoenix race.
No, just a motorsports race in general.
Well, I'm saying, oh, whatever. No, yeah, so the race was rain shortened by what, 20-something laps, 30 laps?
Yeah, something like that.
But yeah, go ahead. I assume you saw it, so I'm going to let you you do the chat here.
So I did. I missed like the first couple laps of that race, but I caught pretty much all of it, and William Sawalich won the pole, and it was the end of that. He ended up obviously holding on. I mean, obviously he led. I don't know how many laps he led, but he wasn't out front the whole time. But there was a couple of good stories in there. One of them is Isabella Robusto, who drove the 55 car at Phoenix on Friday. And I think they said she was 16 years old, and she won she finished sixth. So good story there. Obviously, Grant Enfinger in the Truck Series finished third. Gio Ruggiero, who is not a full-time guy in the ARCA series, finished second. So there are some great drivers that you don't usually see in the ARCA series that put on a good run.
I mean, I think it's great. What was the last ARCA race? Was the last one Daytona?
Daytona.
So I think right now you're starting to see that progression of like who does well at Daytona. I don't want to say it's everybody, but mm-hmm. Daytona in any series, when it comes to the big track, maybe not necessarily the road course, but on the oval, it's a toss up. Anything can happen, right? Anything can, anybody could win. Whereas now you're going, even we saw with the Cup Series last week at Vegas, this week at Phoenix, you're starting to see those drivers who are typically up front, Kyle Larson, Christopher Bell, Justin Allgaier, unfortunately, he crashed with a handful of laps to go, but he was up front. You know, you're starting to see that cream kind of rise to the top as to who normally would be running up front, and it's the same thing in ARCA. You know, it's. I think this was that first race that you see that these drivers, the drivers who are going to be front runners, are showing themselves.
Yeah, definitely. And Ruggiero had made his ARCA debut on Friday. He finished second, so he's a rookie in the ARCA series. I don't think he's old enough to run super speedways. So impressive. I don't think he'll be at their next race at that Talladega all the way on April 20th, so they have a good break. But he finished second in his first career ARCA race, and at a track like Phoenix is not too bad of a showing.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. That is pretty amazing that he – comes out as a rookie, first race, and boom. You know, that's raw talent right there.
And I'm just going to – I will say first, William Sawalich did end up winning the race. It was rain-shortened. They only did 115 laps. I think it was out of 130 or 135 around there. And one thing I will say is that with William Sawalich's win, it started off a – pretty good weekend, I'd say, if you're Joe Gibbs Racing.
JGR swept the weekend, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that statement of it being a very good weekend for them.
A weekend they probably needed, obviously, because obviously excluding the clash when Denny Hamlin won for a points race, that was their first. That was their first. first Cup win of the year and their first Xfinity win of the year.
Yes, because so far RCR won.
Wait, sorry, it was JGR's second Xfinity win because John Hunter Nemechek won last week.
Right, I was gonna say I knew RCR won Daytona and Atlanta, but I wasn't sure who won Vegas. I couldn't remember at the top of my head, but that makes sense. So John Hunter Nemechek wins Vegas, and who won Phoenix? You said. Sorry, I missed that.
John Hunter Nemechek.
Oh, so he's 2-for-2 right now. Good for him. Yeah, I mean, I think that it was definitely a good start to the, not only for the weekend for, let me back up. It was a good weekend for JGR, a good start to the season for them in that regards, but also I think in general a good start to the week, to the series for the Xfinity program. That's always strong. But they, you know, they're running up front 2 weeks in a row on two different racetracks. That's promising for John Hunter. Is he full-time Xfinity running for a championship?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, because he's full-time in Cup.
Oh, right. Right. Okay.
So he's splitting time in the 20 with Eric Almirola, although Almirola in the Xfinity race on Saturday ran the 19 while Nemechek was in the 20.
Got it. All right. Well, yeah. I mean, any other things you wanted to say about the ARCA race before we moved on to?
I mean, obviously it's Daytona, but obviously, I guess for the ARCA series, you know, obviously it has that little reputation around it of it being a demolition derby almost. Obviously, Daytona, we saw that, but Phoenix, I mean, yeah, it's Phoenix, but that was for ARCA series where they go to a lot of track and recollect. That was a fairly clean race for them, so. Love to see, and it was a really, I thought it was a good race overall.
Yeah, from what I saw, again, I didn't see the whole race, but from what I saw, it seemed like it was a very clean and together race, which is great to see, you know, in general, no matter what series it is. But when you have the ARCA series, which is just a younger audience or younger crowd of drivers, great to see, you know, good, clean racing, for sure. So then Saturday you have Xfinity Series race. And I think the biggest thing.
Don't you want to go Formula One first?
I didn't really see Formula One much. Did you?
I didn't either.
Oh, you didn't either? Okay.
But I know, I know Max Verstappen won, but I saw the ratings for the Formula One race.
It was down compared to last year.
Yeah, they got 920,000 viewers for Saturday. It was down 40% from last year's race.
Now, granted, last year's race, I think it was on ESPN. This was on ESPN.
Yeah, and this one was on ESPN too, yes.
So who knows if that made a difference, but still down 40%. That's kind of
on the Formula One side, obviously it's obviously it's not the best start for Formula One, obviously, with how good Max Verstappen was last year. And now he's won the first two races by pretty much the same way he did last year. So, obviously, it's kind of, especially if Formula One wanted to try to draw a new crowd, it's really tough to do that right now. Mm. Especially when you have one driver, it's ultimately the same 1-2 every race because Verstappen finishes first and then Perez finishes second. They're both Red Bull. They're 1-2 and then everyone else is shuffle around.
So here's my question to you, and I guess this could kind of explore or expand upon the F1 topic, but also kill some time here on our clock, if you were to, you know, run the show time. This is season, I think it was season 6 of the Drive to Survive show. So you have 6 seasons of that. I haven't watched it yet. I actually didn't even watch season 5, I'll admit. No, that's a lie. I watched an episode. Do you think that we're starting to see the shifting of tides again? You know, you see it in sports. You know this as well as I do that, you know, for about 2, 3, 4, 5 years, football has a higher rating than baseball. And then all of a sudden now baseball's got a higher rating. Oh, wait, now we have hockey in the mix. You know, like the demographics and the ratings and the viewership kind of shifts. And I feel like 3 or 4 years ago, NASCAR was on the down. Everybody was like, oh, NASCAR's dead. The series is over. They should just throw in the towel.
And you still get that now, and it's the Formula One crowd versus the NASCAR crowd currently.
Well, but what I'm saying is then those people who said NASCAR's dead were going to F1 because it was something different. It was something new. The TV show kind of built up that hype of drama, which it did, and it's true. Formula One has all that excitement. It's more than just a 25-second win by a driver. But I guess my question is now you have NASCAR comes out with their Netflix show, which they did a great job, more tailoring towards the people who aren't diehard fans like we are.
They did a lot of behind the scenes about what kind of a race weekend for certain drivers. Obviously, they focused on different drivers in each episode, so it wasn't like one driver. It was like what Denny Hamlin episode 1, and then Logano episode 2. It was multiple each episode, so you can kind of see the difference what each driver does on. So pretty much the same race day.
I mean, Formula One Drive to Survive does that too. They do a great job of showing one driver, one team, as well as explaining things on, I don't want to say an elementary school level, but like compared to how the scientific world works when it comes to racing, it is kind of the elementary school level of, okay, here's the pit stop. It should be this, this is this, and this. They do a great job of that. And my question is I wonder if now Formula One is going through that cycle tide of here we are. People are now starting to go, okay, F1's cool. And then Netflix comes out. Like, they're kind of already leaning towards, maybe I don't like it. Maybe it's not as exciting as it was when I first started watching 3 or 4 years ago. And then Netflix comes out with the NASCAR show, which shows it as excitement and everything. Then Daytona happens, which is a great race, a fun race. It's Monday afternoon, people are getting home from work, so the viewership was kind of weird, but like people still get home from work, they put it on, they're looking for the local news, whatever, they find the race. Then Atlanta happens with their 3-wide finish. Obviously, Vegas is kind of more the typical NASCAR-type race, same with Phoenix, but I just wonder if the tide is kind of switching back over to NASCAR, because Phoenix was sold out again this weekend.
Yeah, for like I think they said like 10th time in a row, 7th time in a row, something like that, whatever it is. Obviously with 2 Phoenix race dates, that's still within about 3 or 4 years in a row.
But still, that's amazing. A Daytona was sold out what feels like last October.
Last May.
Was it?
Whenever tickets go on sale for the 500, they usually sell out that day, it feels like.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, they are selling out a lot earlier than they used to, which is great. Atlanta was close to sold out. So my point is I wonder if now we're seeing the switch between race fans who went, I want to go explore something else. Here's Formula One, to now, not really feeling it anymore. Let me go check out NASCAR now that I saw this Netflix series.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing it in the TV viewership. I mean, granted, Formula One still has a large viewership, but usually Formula One is within a couple million of NASCAR on any given weekend. And this weekend, Formula One was in the 100,000s, and NASCAR was in, I think it was the 4 millions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, interesting.
So to answer that question, I do think it is switching, and I think it's been that since last year, like during the race season last year, when it was really looking like when people could really start to realize that Red Bull was ultimately dominating with Verstappen and Perez finishing 1-2, well, at least Verstappen winning every race by 30 minutes, and obviously, yeah.
You almost just made me spit my
drink. It kind of goes to show you the skill that Verstappen has. But at the same time, over the last couple days, ever since Saturday, after the race, I've kind of been seeing, would Verstappen even win a race if he wasn't in a Red Bull car?
Yeah, I mean, that is. And then I saw some of the rumors about Formula One and him going to Mercedes, and now that Hamilton's going to Ferrari, and Jordan's shaking his head yes. So it is a question that I think it isn't necessarily just specific to Verstappen or Formula One. It's the same thing when in even NASCAR. You know, like we talked about 2 weeks ago, Kyle Busch going into the Spire Motorsports truck and winning in Atlanta. And that now is a great benchmark for Spire Motorsports to know that it's not the equipment, you know, but there are some race teams that, like, I don't want to knock Chip Ganassi when he was in NASCAR, but Kyle Larson was not doing well.
No.
In the 42 car. And I don't know if maybe it's because he was still learning. I don't think it was. I feel like Kyle Larson's been great ever since he was able to walk.
Later on in his career, Chip Ganassi started doing good. Obviously, he did win a few races with Chip Ganassi in the 42 car. But yeah, overall, it was a lot of.
Chip Ganassi also. I'm not trying to put down the Chip Ganassi team because they're no longer in NASCAR, but like in the Cup Series at least. But like. Chip Ganassi was never really uber competitive in general compared to the Joe Gibbs and the Hendricks. And I mean, I could even throw in the RCRs, but like, I feel like that's just an example of how Kyle Larson went from Chip Ganassi to Hendrick. Now, granted, there was a little bit of a period in between there that we're not going to talk about because it's history. It's in the past, but like, He moved teams after a little bit of a training period, and he comes out and boom, win, championship. And it's just like, whoa, wait, did he get better? I would think that it's because his equipment got better, he's a good driver. He probably did get better, but also the equipment backed him. So I get what you're saying, and I understand what people are saying about, well, would Max Verstappen do well in other equipment? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Verstappen's a good driver.
A lot of people, I think it kind of goes to show, I mean, obviously, how racing is a money sport.
Right.
Red Bull, obviously, is a big part of Formula One. And I've seen a lot of people say Red Bull's ruining Formula One because, obviously, with Verstappen winning every race, it's like, oh, this again. And it's starting to feel like that now with the first two races done and Verstappen's won both dominant in dominating fashion like he usually does.
I mean, I think people also need to remember that there was a stretch of 5 or 6 years where Sebastian Vettel in a Red Bull won every race, won every championship, won everything. And now am I saying, oh, it's because he was in a Red Bull? No. Because then Mercedes went on a five or six year stretch of dominance with Hamilton and Rosberg. So I think that's just how Formula One is. I think it's kind of like a ping pong game. Okay, you have it for a couple of years. Now I have it for a couple of years. You have a couple of years. And however long many years it is, I don't know. Like, I don't think it is like 5 or 6, you know, but I think that's just kind of how Formula One is.
But I think a lot of people are starting to get annoyed with that. Because obviously they look at NASCAR and it's like, oh, there's someone different that wins every race. Obviously, we have not had a repeat Cup winner yet this year.
Right.
We have had a repeat Xfinity winner at Austin Hill winning the back first two races. But after that, we've had two new winners. Truck Series has not had a repeat winner yet. ARCA has not. So it's like, people look at it as it's like, and people always see this all the time in the Formula One NASCAR debate is Formula One's like, oh, you guys just go left all the time. When a quarter of the NASCAR schedule is on road courses where they don't go just left. And now they have a street course.
Let's not bring that up though.
In Chicago. And
don't bring that
up. But a lot of the NASCAR fan base responds to the Formula One sign, it goes, yeah, but at least we don't got the same winner winning by 30 minutes every time. It's a new winner every week.
I mean, and I think that it also...
William Byron won 6 races last year, and there's 36 races, so that's not even... He didn't even win a third of the races, and he won 6 races. So it feels like, wow, And in NASCAR, 6 wins in a season is considered a dominant season. And obviously, William Byron didn't even win the championship.
Right. I mean, and I also think, and not to like go down this rabbit hole, but I also think it has to do with people's attention spans nowadays. Mm-hmm. And let me phrase that, not just people's, but society in general. You know, people, I mean, society and people are the same thing, but you know what I mean? Like, I feel like at the end of the day, you're going to sit there and you're going to get bored with a race that is dominated by one driver. You know, I'll admit, last year's Loudon race was fantastic. It was great. It ran on a Monday. They did a great job with the event. You know, it was exciting racing. But there was a point where I was in the grandstands watching Martin Truex Jr. wax the field and think to myself, all right, this is it's a little boring. You know, and now granted, it went through its cycles of pick stops and everything, and it regrouped, you know, and it got more exciting. But I could only imagine when on lap two, a driver has a 2 second lead over the field, how it's just like, how much did we spend for these tickets?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, and now granted, the people that go to Formula One usually are not worried about the ticket price because they're just enjoying the event, which is fine. But what I guess I'm getting at is I think people, to society today, their attention spans are a little different as well. So I think that's why they're kind of getting more bored with Formula One. Mm-hmm. And I also want to say, though, Formula One has done a great job. Sky Sports has done a great job at trying to keep people entertained when you have a driver who wins by 20 seconds. You know, kind of run with those storylines. It's kind of like what they do during endurance racing. You know, it's kind of like, all right, the leaders are out there. Let's go to pit road. And we spend a couple seconds or a couple minutes on pit road talking about this strategy. And then we come back to the race. Like, it's not necessarily like, oh, we're going to miss something, because they know you're not really going to. So I think Sky Sports and ESPN has been doing a great job with also using their platform to kind of like keep the audience engaged as well.
Yeah, and to go back to your point on the Loudon thing with Truex last year, obviously, yeah, Truex did dominate, and I feel like a lot of his race wins in his career have been just that, our dominating fashion. But at the same time, a lot of people are like, oh, that's just classic Loudon following the leader. But that race, yeah, Truex led 200-something laps of the 301, but at the same time, there was racing throughout that whole field.
Right.
It is Truex had the best car, and no one competed. The only car that could really compete with him that day was Ryan Blaney, but he had a pit road penalty late in that race, and he never got back up to the front. So that race overall was good. It's just, obviously, people love lead changes, and obviously, who doesn't, right?
Right.
So obviously, when Truex leads that much, and he's always down in front, or he restarts six, and all of a sudden, after the first lap and the restart, he's already battling for the lead again. It's just like, oh, what the heck?
Right. No, I mean, exactly.
I think overall, I mean, especially Loudon over the last couple of years, we know Loudon used to be one of the most hated NASCAR tracks on the schedule. But I think over the last few years now, probably ever since COVID, really, since the 2020 race, it's really gone its reputation a lot better, because there's been some good racing on it lately. Maybe because of the next-gen car works well at Loudon. I mean, or maybe it's just, I don't know, maybe just something with the track that is overall different. So it just gets the racing better at Loudon overall.
No, I mean, and I agree. And I think, like I said, there was that one point where I was just kind of like, we're just logging laps. But then you're right. There were definitely battles throughout the field around the track. And as long as you use your resources, like I remember having the scanner on and being like, all right, hold on. So Truex is just out front, large gap. Let me put on MR or PRN. And PRN was able to kind of bring me back into it. You know, so mm-hmm. again, going back to that broadcast, whether it be TV or radio, doing a great job of just saying, hey, folks, yes, the leader's out front by 2, 3, 30 seconds. Here's what also you can listen and talk, watch as well. And yeah, I think it's just all about keeping your audience captive, like keeping them engaged and keeping them interested. And I think that's half the battle. But I definitely also, like I said, think that the tides flip between sports and even IndyCar's in there too. Motocross is in there. I know motocross or supercross is also kind of its own fan base, which is fine. But I feel like IndyCar and Formula One fans are kind of one and the same because they're somewhat like they're both open wheel. But at the mm-hmm. same time, IndyCar is kind of like the middleman between NASCAR and Formula One.
Right.
It's kind of like I like racing. I like open wheel racing, but I'm not hugely into Formula One. But I'm not hugely into NASCAR. Here I am, IndyCar.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I love IndyCar too. I watched that race past weekend, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But I just wonder if, like I said, between NASCAR, you're seeing numbers, at least for this weekend, go down for Formula One, but then numbers for NASCAR go up. I will also admit, though, personally, this is the second weekend in a row that I didn't know when the Formula One race was.
No, I remember texting you last week saying Max Verstappen wanting to go. And you text me saying, the race is tomorrow. And yeah. I was like, no, it was today.
And
he was like, no. And then I even sent you the screenshot of, oh, look. And then you were like, oh, shoot. Oh, I'll watch it next week. And I text you, Max Verstappen won again. Max Verstappen won again. And then you're like, oh, that's another week I missed.
And I mean, and that might honestly be on me for not looking at the schedule close enough. But like, historically, Bahrain usually is Sunday morning. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting it mixed up with another racetrack or another race. No, not IndyCar. I'm saying like another F1 race. But like, my point is if I'm having that trouble, is there other people out there also having that trouble that's resulting in less viewership? You know, like it just makes you wonder. It makes you wonder. It's really what I'm getting at. But yeah, so interesting though that Formula One numbers were down.
No, you are right. They did. Formula One did on race every Saturday, every Sunday.
So I'm not a complete idiot.
No,
only partially.
So they just switched it up on you without
nobody
either telling you or you just forgot.
Nobody sent me an email.
I will tell you their next race is Sunday, March 24th.
Sunday, you said?
Yeah, at, unfortunately, midnight.
Oh.
So it's at 12 a.m. on Sunday, so it's technically Saturday night. Going into Sunday.
It's Saturday night. Oh, my gosh.
and then their next race is Sunday, April 7th at 1 a.m.
Okay, all right. Well, we're getting closer to the Sunday morning start time.
And then they go Sunday, April 21st at 3 a.m.
Okay.
And then Miami, Sunday, May 5th at 4 p.m.
Oh,
there
my
we go.
Gosh. We completely jumped to the other side of the clock. We went from midnight to 1 a.m. to
that's
3 a.m.
That's because the one at 4 p.m. is in Miami.
It's in the same time.
So it's only East Coast time.
Oh, I can get behind that. I will say that I DVR the races. I usually watch them Sunday morning anyways when they're at 1 in the morning. Except
so far you forgot to because you forgot they're on Saturday to begin with.
The DVR still saved me. Don't worry. They're still recorded. But, But, so, anyways, so yeah, it just makes you wonder, though, with the whole viewership thing. You know, are we seeing the numbers and fan bases switch, or are we just simply seeing less interest in the United States for Formula One right now? Or what time is the race Saturday?
The Formula One?
Yeah.
That was at Noon on Saturday. Noon Eastern time.
I can't believe I missed it. All right, so that's definitely... Because I was going to say, if it's at like 6 in the morning Saturday or 11 p.m. at Saturday night, I could understand where some of your viewership is going to be lost because of people not either being up to watch it or staying up late to watch it. You know, like right. like it's when Formula One raced in Las Vegas in the same country and they started at 10 p.m. Pacific, so it was 1 a.m. here. Like it was like we're in the same country. And we're still here in the East Coast.
Usually it's 10 p.m. Eastern time, 7 p.m. Pacific, but no, they're like 10 p.m. Pacific time. So.
Right, right. So like my point is like I just wonder if you had less viewership because of that too. So there's so many different factors that could have gone into it. Really, is what I'm getting at. Any final thoughts on Xfinity, ARCA, or Formula One before we move on to IndyCar and
NASCAR? We haven't really talked about the Xfinity race yet.
Oh, well, then let's talk about the Xfinity race. So John Hunter Nemechek wins the Xfinity race. At Las Vegas.
Yes.
He moves on to also win at Phoenix. No?
No. Chandler Smith won.
Oh. I thought I had it.
No, John Hunter Nemechek finished 32nd and got into a wreck in Phoenix.
Oh, yeah. No, he didn't. Oh, sorry, John Hunter. So Chandler Smith wins.
I mean, you had the right team, Chandler Smith, JGR. You had the right team. You just had a different driver.
Okay. See, I wasn't. What did I say earlier? I wasn't a complete idiot. So Chandler Smith wins, but prior to that, 7 laps earlier, that was just an Allgaier's race.
Unfortunate, especially for a guy like Justin Allgaier who. I don't think has a hater in the world for no. those that follow the Xfinity race, which I assume is probably most of the NASCAR fan base.
It doesn't make sense because it seems like any time JGR cars are doing well, something happens.
You mean JRM?
Sorry, JRM. You're right. Sorry, I got that mixed up. Anytime Junior Motorsports... cars are I was so confident in that statement too. Anytime Junior Motorsports cars are doing well, it seems like something goes wrong. I mean, I don't understand. It just does not line up. I mean,
yeah, obviously Justin Allgaier was definitely going to win that race, but obviously barring any late race cautions, which I don't think he would have gotten one. But obviously the only late race caution was Allgaier. I think it was his left rear tire that went flat or his right rear.
Left rear, you're right.
His left rear tires went flat and just lost control and nailed the wall in DNF. He went from first with 5 laps ago to finishing 29th in DNF.
That's just insane.
But obviously, Chandler Smith, obviously, that's what NASCAR is. A lot of it is luck. And obviously, Chandler Smith had a good run all day. Finished one stage one, finished fourth in stage two, and then won the race. So big points day for Chandler Smith. And now, even though Austin Hill won the first two races of the season, Chandler Smith is now the points leader because, obviously, more consistent finishes than Austin Hill.
Right.
So, good win for Chandler Smith. Obviously, his second career win, first with JGR. Obviously, he won at Richmond last year with a colleague. And I think Chandler Smith has had a really strong start to the year for JGR. Shame for Sheldon Creed. He finished third, and he's been right there at the beginning, or at the end, I should say, since Daytona.
Hmm.
Obviously, he had a good battle with Jesse Love at the line for a second.
Yeah.
But
no, I mean, overall, I think the Xfinity race overall was a good, really good broadcast, or good, not broadcast, good race. I think... You know, you never want to see the leader blow a tire and hit the wall, but
hey, it does take skill for to you to lose a tire and wreck out of the race with 5 laps to go and still win the race.
Man,
I ain't gonna say who said that, but I ain't gonna mention who. at the end of the Xfinity race, saying congrats to Justin Allgaier for today's win.
I was wondering,
as they're showing the video package of him slamming his the back end of his car on the ground after out of frustration for what happened. But
I was wondering if you were going to bring this up. We'll touch
on
that.
It was just that one quick one, though. And also, ARCA race at Richmond on Friday and not Phoenix. Fun fact, actually, crazy.
Oh my gosh! All right, so
okay, I'm done.
These are the people that could potentially employ us someday. Could you be careful? Think about your repercussions here. Anyways, so Allgaier, I mean, it, you know, you never want to see the leader wreck out with five laps to go, especially on their own, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's a battle between Smith and Allgaier gets in the wall and it's like exciting, but like,
right.
You never want to see it when it's just by themselves. With that being said, though, if there is a way to make exciting TV, that's it. You know, as a kid, I can't tell you how many times I was Tony Stewart with my driver. He's trailing to whoever's leading. And there I am as a 7-8-year-old kid going, just blow a tire. Just blow a tire. Just blow a tire.
And you don't do that now?
No, I don't. No. Do you? Wait a minute. No, but
I don't.
I was going to say, but in all seriousness, like, that's like the thing you as a kid, you wish that, like, I wish somebody just threw a solar can out on the track or, you know, some way to, like, delay the race and give my driver a chance. So you never want to see it, but when it does happen, it's just, I mean, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, it's not even, like I said, it's not even where it's like, oh, this is what I wanted. It's still like, oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Just because, I mean, you and I now both understand what goes into a race team. You know, it's as a 5 and 6 year old kid, we think, oh, well, they just got another car, which I mean, they do. But like, also as a 5 or 6 year old team or kid, we would think that they just fix that car and bring it to the next race. Mm-hmm. But like, it's just heartbreaking to see that happen to Allgaier. I mean, I don't know how many times we see Allgaier go out and dominate a race and then something happened to him. You know, and again, that goes back to even the JRM cars. They would go out and they're running together well at Daytona. They're 1, 2, 3, 4, and then all of a sudden, one of them loses a tire in front, and all four of them are in the wreck. It's like, how? Like,
it's supposed to show you how your day can change just like that.
Exactly. It's like you can't script it any better. Like, it just, yeah. Anyways, but overall, I think the race was good.
I do too.
I think it was exciting for sure.
Chandler Smith ended. I'm looking at the point totals for Astro Phoenix. How many points were awarded? Chandler Smith got 57 points.
Wow.
From just Phoenix alone. Jesse Love got 39. Sheldon Creed got 34. Austin Hill got 34. And Cole Custer got 51. And that was the top five. With Shane Van Gisbergen finishing sixth. And, I mean, I know he obviously doesn't have that Xfinity win yet, but what else can you say about SVG? He's, right. I mean, he started fifth at Daytona, finished 12th, started 13th at Atlanta, finished third. Las Vegas did not go his way. He finished 37th after starting 25th, but he started 23rd at Phoenix and finished 6th. So, I mean, I don't want to say he shocked a lot of people because obviously people know what he was capable of after winning the Chicago street race, but I don't think people expected him to catch on this quickly.
Right.
So, I mean, he's looked really good, and someone that probably looked even a little better is Jesse Love. I mean, obviously driving that two car for RCR as you replace Sheldon Creed, or I guess you could say replace Sheldon Creed, but
to a certain degree.
he doesn't have that race win yet, but he does have two poles. He's average starts sixth and he's fifth in points already, so I mean, and he has 3 stage wins, so, I mean, there's nothing more you can say about that rookie. This is probably going to be – he'll probably end – I mean, oh, it's early, so a lot can change, but He looks like he'll win Rookie of the Year with SVG being close second behind him.
Yeah, he's definitely a both of them are solid drivers, and I think that they both have the ability to do great things this season. I mean, at least win races. I don't know. I don't want to say win championships, but I think for SVG, he's definitely just out there to kind of log laps and get to know the tracks, get to know the cars, get to know the series, get to know the drivers. He's got, you know, he has bigger plans with the Cup Series.
Mm-hmm. While we're on, but yeah, obviously we kind of know Trackhouse's plan because obviously Trackhouse is keeping a close eye on him, even though he is a colleague driver in the Xfinity Series.
Right.
I think he has a, actually, I think, yeah, SVG's actually running a couple Cup races this year. He's doing the Chicago Street Race again, I believe. I think he's doing a couple road courses, but another one I think he's doing, and I could have read this wrong, is I think SVG's racing at the Cup race at Daytona in August. I could be wrong about that.
Well, I mean, that would be entertaining to see him run the
Cup race. Yeah, so I just looked. 1 week ago, Trackhouse posted it in his, of his sponsor, and it was actually really nice scheme. I don't know if you've seen it. I don't know if you can really see that as I'm showing you right now, but I'll send it to you on Instagram, too, to get you a better look at it. But,
That's
a scheme for three races, and it does. And Team Trackhouse has said, and in the Cup Series at Daytona, so he is racing at Daytona in the Cup Series. So, but I mean, yeah, obviously we know his plan. Ultimately, it probably won't be in the Xfinity Series too long, if I can imagine. Maybe a year or two.
That's his full-time Xfinity car.
Yeah, and that's also his sponsor for the Cup race.
Oh, I see. But, I see the post now.
But they, I don't know exactly Trackhouse's plan, obviously, but they kind of are, they're obviously excited about SVG. I can only see him maybe doing 1 year full time Xfinity, maybe two, and then go to Cup full time. But he's been really good. But another rookie that did not have a good day at Phoenix was Haley Deegan. Mm. After finishing 15th at Vegas, which was a track she had her original first career Xfinity started in 2022. Which I think she finished 13th or 15th in. On Saturday, she had an ARCA break moment.
Mm.
And for those of you that don't know, and maybe you, I don't know if you know what that terminology means, Devin, is the ARCA cars are known for not being able to brake very well, which causes a lot of cars to just pile in there in the wrecks.
Oh, I see.
Haley Deegan in her wreck that collected Jeb Burton and it collected Parker Retzlaff, Sam Mayer, John Hrnemacek, Haley Deegan. You can kind of see her kind of going through, but she couldn't stop in time. She kind of just plowed into, I think it was Jeb Burton. So she finished 33rd. So obviously not a strong start to the year. Obviously she has that one top 15, but obviously, I mean, it's still early in the season. Obviously it takes some time to adapt, but who knows.
Yeah, I mean,
what it look like?
Only time will tell with her, as well as the others we talked about. But yeah, I think it's good for us. We're going to talk about SVG all season long, and I think that him getting Cup seat time here and there is great, especially at Daytona in August. It makes that race that much more exciting.
I do want to go back to that truck race, even though they were off this weekend. But their last race at Las Vegas Motor Speedway,
right?
Rajat Kruth got his first career win, so good to see him in victory, and especially with how close he got in the first two races, and just overall, just a great racer, and good to see him get that first career truck win. I think in his first full-time, I don't know, I think it was full-time in trucks last year.
No, it's great to see him, yeah. I meant to bring that up, too. He definitely had a great race there in Vegas, and he's another one of those drivers you want to put on the board. Of who will, you know, how will they do, where will they go, things like that. And I think he's another one of the drivers that are going to be solid this year, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, any other thoughts on Xfinity? Okay.
I do not.
So, we'll touch on IndyCar real quick.
Yes.
They had their season opener on Sunday, St. Petersburg, Florida. Relatively quiet race.
Yeah.
We had a couple accidents here and there, but some great side-by-side action from NBC. And also great... He didn't hear me. Anyways.
I did hear you.
Oh, he just chose to ignore me. Okay. No, honestly, I think NBC did a great job covering the race. They did a good job of getting as much of the action on screen as possible. And
as they usually do.
They NBC definitely knows how to cover IndyCar for sure. So the race itself was really good as well. You know, typical St. Petersburg, Florida race, you know, like street course / parking lot / airport. and it's, that was honestly, that's one of the bucket list races for me to go to. I assume it is for you as well. But
overall, no, my main bucket list for IndyCar is the Indianapolis 500, but that's obviously like a given.
Well, of course. I already checked that off the list, but I understand for somebody who hasn't, that, you know, you gotta get to the 500, but, or the Indy 500, not the Daytona 500. You gotta be careful with that terminology. But, anyways, no, I mean, overall, I think the race itself at IndyCar was great. Newgarden goes out, wins from the pole.
Yes. From the pole. I think he won by like 5 seconds too. So it was just a domination for him.
Yeah. I mean, he's a great driver and a solid IndyCar driver, as well as solid equipment in IndyCars.
That is 30th career win there in the IndyCar, and that's obviously in St. Petersburg is where he won his first IndyCar race in 2012. So
perfect.
It was good for him to win there, knowing it's a track where he's won his first career IndyCar race. But yeah. I mean, going off of IndyCar just for a quick second, is Joseph Newgarden has quite start to his race season. Obviously, one of the overall winners in the Rolex 24 was Joseph Newgarden, and now in his first race in IndyCar, race of the season, he goes out and wins. So, not too bad of a way to start racing season.
Good start to 2024 for sure. But no, I mean overall, I think the race itself was great. I think that the it was exciting. I mean, the whole time you were kind of sitting on the edge of your seat. It kind of felt like, if you related it in the NASCAR world to, it almost felt like you were watching like a Daytona or a Talladega to a degree. Just because the cars, they seem so tough to drive. And at any moment you could have some of these newer drivers have a car just break loose on them. With that being said though, oh my goodness, their NBC went through and interviewed a lot of drivers during qualifying and pre-race and everything. I think I only counted like 5 or 6 drivers that I actually knew. Like, I would love to know how many rookies IndyCar has this year, there were so many new faces, which is awesome, but oh my goodness.
I think a lot of it is too, is there was a lot of movement in the off season with, like, obviously Roman Grosjean's is, I'm going to blank on the name that he's racing, driving for now.
It's number 77.
Yeah, he's driving the 77 now. He's driving for Juncos Hollinger Racing.
Right. Yes.
So he moved over there. I forget what
he was. He was racing in Ryan Hunter Ray's old seat Letterman Racing.
Andretti Autosports.
Oh man, I was way off. Yes.
And obviously now Marcus Ericsson is no longer driving the number 1 IndyCar. He's not driving the number 8 for Andretti Global.
They definitely move. So
obviously that's a face that's obviously new, but a face people know, obviously former Indy 500 winner, and I might be wrong. I might just butcher that, saying he's an Indy 500 winner. But
I think he has, but I I can't.
I just found it. 2022, he won it. So
I say he had to have been the last couple years.
You have a lot of drivers. I don't want to say a lot of drivers, but you've had a few drivers that moved teams. So obviously that's next man up, and obviously a lot of them came from probably the IndyCar NXT series.
Yeah,
which is
former Indy Lights.
For a lot of people that don't know, is pretty much the Xfinity series for IndyCar. Like the Xfinity series is to NASCAR.
Right. I mean, overall, I think it's awesome to see, and obviously that's going to happen. But it was funny because I mean, granted, I was just coming out of a nap, not to get into the personal stuff. But on a Saturday, I put on IndyCar, and it just seemed like it was like new driver, new driver, new driver. And I'm like,
No,
qualifying on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
I had that right. Yes. I had that right. But I'm just saying, like, it was just weird. It was just like, holy cow, who are these guys? But
yeah, exactly.
No, but still, it was overall, I think, a great weekend, great race. They have the IndyCar Million coming up on the 24th of March. I'm excited to see what this is because I don't think it's a point-paying race. I think it's just like – it's almost like an all-star race for them. But it should be interesting.
Yeah, that is at
– it's out in California. It's like a purpose-built road course that's kind of like – it's not, from what I've seen, it's not like a road course, but it's kind of more like an area that they built the road course that's kind of like for like drifting and like it just looks like a giant skit like playground. Like it's not necessarily a racetrack, but it's like what you'd build in the backyard. Like it doesn't look like there's many like grandstands. It doesn't look like it just kind of literally looks like what you'd see at like the road course of Las Vegas.
Right. But no, yeah, I don't think it's. I don't know if it's a point race. I haven't thought about that.
Yeah, man, I'm interested. It'll be interesting to see. It's on NBC, or
yeah. So yeah, so I'm looking at the weekend format right now. So it will include a qualifying session and two heat races.
Mm-hmm.
But the top six from each race advancing to an all-star showcase, while championship points will not be on the line. The event will feature a multi-million-dollar purse.
So yeah, it's like an all-star race.
Yeah, the earliest all-star race you may have ever seen. It's the second race of the year. They're like, all-star race, it's time.
Yeah, but I mean, a great job by IndyCar, though, because they're trying to change things up while also, you know, just keeping things the same. Like, they don't, or without copying anybody. Like, they don't want to come out and be like, right around just after the Indy 500 in May, we'll do an all-star race. Like now, that's what NASCAR's always done, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think good job by IndyCar to try and change it up. Other IndyCar news that happened in the off season, and I did not do my research as to why this is, but they moved the championship race from the streets of Nashville to Nashville Super Speedway, which is where NASCAR races in the summer months. So it just makes, again, I wonder, I didn't do my research as to why, but it makes you wonder why. And I would assume it's probably as simple as maybe the city of Nashville said, hey, we can't accommodate this.
Or, yeah, I think over the last couple of years there's been conflicts with it being in the streets of Nashville, so.
I mean, I thought the course is great. They went over a bridge, you know, like it was
not
so,
many road, no, not many motorsports do that.
Right. I mean, they went over a river. It was great shots. NBC again did a great job covering the IndyCar series there. But like, I don't know. It was very, I don't want to say sudden, but it was kind of like, hey, IndyCar starts next week. By the way, we're not doing this anymore. And it was like, wait, what? And again, I didn't really do much research. I'll admit that. So maybe people at home are listening right now going, well, if you looked it up or if you were following, maybe that's the case. But anyways, any other thoughts on IndyCar?
No, I thought I would agree with what you said. It was a great race, even though Newgarden pretty much dominated it, winning by 5 seconds. But I still thought it was a great race. I just love watching IndyCar because obviously – even though they have twists and turns, they pretty much do a lot of road courses, mainly street courses, but they're still going like 130 miles per hour through the turns. It's like they just.
Yeah.
They pretty much just YOLO it through the turn, and it's always great to see.
It's definitely a different discipline of motorsports, which is, again, for us who watch NASCAR all the time, there is sometimes in the season where we say, you know what, I'd rather watch IndyCar than the Cup Series race today or something like that. But regardless, well,
we usually don't have to run into that problem because the IndyCar is usually like early Sunday.
That's true. That's true.
So it's pretty much IndyCar, and it's like, okay, time for NASCAR.
Yeah, IndyCar and NASCAR have done a great job of kind of offsetting their start times there. But
I think a lot of it might be obviously their NASCAR is in the Fox schedule right now, but obviously in June 16th weekend again when NASCAR's in Iowa, NASCAR goes to NBC. And then, so I think a lot of it is NBC can't, obviously, you're not going to overlap, so might as well. And they probably benefit. I can't imagine they don't how much they benefit from that, from IndyCar right after, then right on NBC is bam, NASCAR.
Yeah, no, I agree. So let's move on to the Cup race. So, Jordan, I want to start this segment of the show by asking you this. And this is I'm only asking this because it's the topic right now on Twitter. I heard it this morning on Door Bumper Clear when I listened to it. Is Phoenix potentially the worst track on the schedule right now?
Yes.
I think the...
because, I mean...
And we host the championship race there!
I wanna compare it. I'm going to compare it to Texas, because obviously Texas has had issues too.
Uh-huh.
To the point where people are thinking Texas has to go to a configuration like Atlanta did. But, I mean, Phoenix, it's a great, great scenery. Obviously, the fans are obviously great. Sold out 10 straight races, whatever it is. Somewhere in that number.
Yep. Handful of
races. And, but, obviously, the fans of Phoenix are great, obviously. I feel like Phoenix is going to go off the schedule completely. It's just, especially now with this next-gen car. And we've talked about it, too, on podcast, on our past episodes. And it's been all over NASCAR Twitter, Denny Hamlin's podcast, Action Detrimental, Door Bumper Clear, Dale Jr. Download, he's talked about it. There's just something with this next-gen car that NASCAR can't figure out with their short track package. And the one thing that concerns me is this was supposed to be a new package, new short track package with the next-gen car. And it was overall not great.
Martin Truex,
and I'm a Joe Gibbs Racing fan, and I love that Bell one, but that was
Martin Truex.
They could not pass.
Martin Truex Jr. said to everybody, obviously in the last couple of years, has said change the tire, and Martin Truex Jr. came out this weekend. I think it was this weekend or leading up to this weekend. I'm going to loosely quote him, very rough quote here. More or less, he said, it's not the tire. No matter what we do with the tire, there's no major change. Mm-hmm. Like, you can feel a little bit difference here, you can feel a little difference there, but at the end of the day, it's not the tire. And I personally don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. I've listened to a bunch of podcasts. I've listened to all these different episodes and media sources, read articles, everything. People can't figure out what's wrong. I mean, Phoenix has produced great races. I mean, I think, honestly, Phoenix, when it was the cutoff race before the championship race, I mean, granted, it's Martinsville right now, so that's also great. But when it was a cutoff race, it was great.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and now... And when I think it makes a lot of people disappointed because obviously everyone watches the Cup Championship weekend, and obviously with the Truck Xfinity and Cup. Truck and Xfinity usually are not bad. They're not the package to worry about, and that's usually always the case. Xfinity's never the package to worry about. A lot of people want the Cup Series to do the Xfinity package on a lot of tracks.
Mm.
But knowing they have to go back there again beginning of November for the Championship Cup race, it's not getting a lot of people excited to watch the cup championship.
Now, when I jumped on, or just before we came on to record this podcast, again, we're recording on Tuesday, March 12th, I saw something online, and this is, the post said, rumor is that in 2025, NASCAR is not going back to Phoenix for the championship race. Instead, they're going to go back to Homestead.
Yes, I did see that.
Now I got to be honest with you, Jordan, and I'm not going to try and get fired up here because we only have so much time together. But I think that might be one of the least thought out ideas.
I mean, I would think.
I was going to say, hold on one second. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. I think it might be one of the least thought out ideas because here's why I say that. For how many years did we go to Homestead? And some years, great races, you know.
Some years not.
Yeah, like some years not, as you said. Then NASCAR fans go, all right, enough's enough. Can we switch it up? And NASCAR says, all right, we're going to go out to Phoenix. And people were excited. They were on board. Now we are 3 years, 4 years into the championship race being at Phoenix.
Yeah, because I think the first year was when Elliott won in 2020.
I think it was yeah. So we're a handful of years into this, and it's getting stale, which is expected. You know, it's the same thing where every year we go, I mean, granted, the Daytona 500 is the crown jewel, and we're always going to start at Daytona, but there are some years, there was just a couple stretch of years where the Daytona 500 was just like, tune in the last 10 laps. You know, now granted, in recent years it hasn't been. But my point is why would you go back to the place that the fans said, eh?
Because a lot of people want to just go back to Homestead because Homestead was never as bad as what Phoenix is.
What's the problem with moving it around?
I was just about to say that I could definitely – I've seen people say rotate it between four tracks every year. Well, Homestead, I've seen – so do Homestead, Phoenix as two. A lot of people really like this, and I'd be all for it just because the entertainment pretty much never misses at this track. Bristol, which might be tough because I don't know how the weather is in November in Tennessee. But – and then another track around there. But a lot of people said rotate it every year, so it's never the same. Between maybe even four or five tracks, so it's like they go to Phoenix once every 4 or 5 years, then Homestead. But so I think a lot of people are upset now with Phoenix is because obviously Homestead's not in that short track package. Phoenix is in the ever since the next gen car came in 2022, the Gen 7. Yeah, Gen 7.
Yep.
It's just been the short track package has been awful.
The mile and a half programs have been strong. Mile and a half races have been strong. So I want to.
It's just a mile or less. So like Loudon falls under that. Even though Loudon I thought was pretty good. Phoenix is under that. Martinsville's under that, but Bristol is. But NASCAR already said Bristol is not going to be used as short track package that Phoenix had, obviously. So,
yeah,
might be good. Might be could get fans excited for Bristol.
so let me counter your idea, and let me throw this out into the universe. And I know it probably won't go anywhere, but the way that the weather patterns have shifted, not to seem like I'm going to go talk about global warming, but the way the weather patterns have shifted here, you can run a race in Loudon on November 1st. You can run a race at Watkins Glen. You can run a race at Michigan. Now, granted, would there be potentially some concerns with cold nights and freezing pipes and things? Yeah, I mean, I can understand that. You know, the idea of, well, we can't winterize the place until this race is over, but now we're getting, like, I get the logistics are there. There are definitely logistical nightmares. But my point is what's to say that next year we say, okay, we're going to go run the championship race at Watkins Glen 4 weeks or 5 weeks before, or maybe even 10 weeks before the playoffs start, we'll revisit it. And we'll say, hey, Watkins Glen, how are you feeling up there? You know, look at your long-term weather. How you feeling? Can we run there in 10 weeks? We can't? Okay, let's go to the backup plan that we already told everyone there would be. You know, like, let's say we're going to Watkins Glen, but if we can't, we'll go to Laguna Seca. Or we'll go to the racetrack in Alabama. I can't think of Birmingham.
Yeah.
Like, think of like a backup, right? Hey, we can't go to New Hampshire, but instead we'll go to Iowa, you know, or something like that. Because then you can rotate it around. The NFL rotates it around. I mean, it's cold, but the NFL is hasn't the NFL hosted Super Bowls at MetLife Stadium and Gillette Stadium in February? You know, like, mm-hmm. I guess my point is move it around, and there are some logistics I'm not thinking of, like the winterization and all that. I'll give that, but I would love to attend a championship race at my home track.
Yeah, who wouldn't? But one thing I will say is, I don't know if you listened to Action is Detrimental this week.
I have not yet.
Obviously, Denny Hamlin talked about the short track package. And obviously, I kind of quote his podcast a lot when we talk about the race because he's the current driver. I think he's the only – actually, he's the one of the only current drivers that saw have a podcast, Corey LaJoie being the other one.
Right.
But Denny Hamlin being a veteran, obviously, you can all go off the differences. And I'm not going to play the clip because I feel like we could get in trouble if I play the audio clip if we do.
Yeah, I wish we could, but I think you're right. So better safe than sorry.
Of what he said, but the person that's with his co-host for Action Detrimental, Jared,
yep,
said, why don't we change the engines? And Denny Hamlin said the engine bills are the same as when we had 900 horsepower. Hmm. And Jared was like, if it's such a simple fix, why don't we fix it? And Denny Hamlin goes, that's a Jim French question that you got to call him and ask.
It probably comes down to money.
Yeah. But, unfortunately. I mean, obviously, people have called for more horsepower, obviously, because everyone loves when cars go 200 miles per hour. Now at Daytona, they go like 185.
But
obviously, the cars are noticeably slower, but I don't think that's ultimately why the short track package is bad. I just think the next-gen car has too many issues.
I'll be honest. I don't know if I would even say it has too many issues. I would say that it's too... I'm going to throw a long shot, throw a dart into the dark here, but say that I feel like it's just too aerodynamic. It's too sucked or too suction cupped to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, And
I don't know how, like, I don't know if NASCAR developed it off of the IMSA cars. I don't know. I mean, but I'm just wondering, is it simply that there's just too much downforce?
That's the thing I'm wondering too, because obviously, like you said, the cars are too close. Josh Berry spun out on qualifying after barely hitting the apron.
So Denny air Hamlin got under the car, and Denny he went Hamlin,
Denny Hamlin did the same thing, battling for the lead with Tyler Reddick, a car he owns. He just spun when no one touched him because the car got close to the apron.
So
he may have touched the apron. And I just feel like, especially with this next gen, how many times you see cars have engine issues. One big thing, how many times do you see cars have tire issues?
Right.
A lot of people don't like the single lug nut, and it could be that. Could be because of the single lug nut. So so obviously, once that one lug nut gets loose, there goes a tire.
Right.
I
don't know. We're obviously...
I just feel like there's a lot of mechanical issues that with this car. I mean, obviously, not as much as the first year in 2022 when... Like Kevin Harvick at Richmond, or I think it was Richmond, his car just caught on fire because there was rubber got into his car, and all of a sudden, just poof, and his car is in flames.
Right.
I just, the short track package now with that race at Phoenix kind of worries me of how the rest of it will go, and New Hampshire's under that short track package.
No, I agree. And I mean,
and if it's a new short track package, and it probably failed worse than last year. I mean, obviously, there's times to tweak it. Obviously, right. Bristol's short track. They're not using that package at Bristol, but I mean, then they go to COTA. I don't know when the next short track is. I think probably Richmond.
Richmond, yeah. So I mean, here's
Richmond is right. Richmond's next is the 31st. So right after COTA, they're right at another short track in Richmond. I don't know if they're using the same thing, but
I think they are. But here's what I'll say real quick.
One thing I will say to end this though before the time is up.
Yep.
The NASCAR and Honda news is becoming a big deal.
I know, I saw that too.
Becoming serious.
So real quick, obviously, as you mentioned, we do have a little bit of a curfew, I guess you could say. But overall, I think the race was a solid race. I think it wasn't as good as it could have been. But I'm saying, like, I think the race in general wasn't horrible. Christopher Bell goes out and wins. Congratulations to him. Does a good job. But I think at the end of the day, it was like a stereotypical short track type race where the driver gets out there and just takes care, just takes off. You know, Tyler Reddick gets out there, takes off, does a really good job, and then all of a sudden now he's falling back, you know, because he came and pitted or had a bad pit strategy or something. Christopher Bell did a great job of being able to just maintain and do everything he needed to do. So, folks, we want to say thank you so much for tuning in. You know what? Hold on 1 second. So, okay, hey, folks, let me quickly explain how this goes. So, obviously, Jordan is on his college campus enjoying senior year. I'm running a business at home base for DPPG. What we do is we currently are doing this via Zoom. Now,
next week.
DPPG is a, Jordan's hinting at some new equipment upgrades coming our way.
No, not even that. I'm home for spring break, starting on Friday.
Jordan is home for spring break, so we're doing it in person.
We're doing it in person.
First time.
Inaugural in person.
Just got so excited. But anyways, point is we apologize for there. We were trying to kind of wrap the show by the end of the 40 minutes that Zoom gives us. Because I'm a cheap business owner who doesn't pay for anything extra than he has to.
No,
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But no, in all seriousness, Jordan kind of hinted at, you know, doing a show in person, but also we have some new equipment coming. So I didn't feel the need to purchase the upgrade. Anyways, long story short, we try and get it done in 80 minutes of Zoom time. This week, we started the Cup Series topic by me throwing this bomb at Jordan saying, "What is Phoenix a boring racetrack?" We had a really good conversation going, and then we tried to kind of wrap it real quick, and it didn't do justice. So here we are. I set up a third Zoom. I feel like the people at home not only deserve to hear our full thoughts on the Cup race, because as I'm sitting here, by the way, folks, you can't see him, but as I'm sitting here saying, I think it was a solid race, Jordan's shaking his head like a toddler. No, 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 no. So anyways, so this will be the final 40 minutes, if not less. But Jordan, I think overall, sorry, thank you folks for listening to my little housekeeping note there. But Jordan, I think overall, the race itself, it wasn't boring. Hold on. He's shaking his head again. It wasn't boring, but it wasn't as good as it could be. You know,
it wasn't boring, but obviously I think people, I mean, rightfully so, we expect more with the short track package, because obviously NASCAR for years, short track racing, everyone loved. Obviously people love Daytona, Talladega, all that. But the short tracks, Bristol, Richmond, Martinsville, Phoenix, New Hampshire is like a short track. Dover, even I don't know if Dover's really in the short track package, but either way, but people love their short track racing. Mm-hmm. And when NASCAR has a new short track package after the issues they had last year, and the first race kind of bombs under the new short track package, I would say this race is probably worse than what Phoenix was last year. Mm. I feel like a lot of the issue is a lot of people said on X and wherever else people talk about NASCAR all the time, everywhere, is, and Denny Hamlin said this, I'm sure Dover Bumper Clear mentioned it, a lot of other NASCAR reporters said it, is it felt like NASCAR went backwards with Phoenix, and just along with Phoenix itself.
I mean, and it's really sad when NASCAR comes out in the off season and says, hey, we're going to go do a 2 or 3 day test at Phoenix. So you're bringing everybody out west again in the winter, the summer, or the cold months. Now, granted, NASCAR probably does this because it's warmer over in Phoenix. Like, it's kind of a little bit more of a controlled environment when it comes to weather. I get it. But it's disheartening before the season even starts when NASCAR comes out or drivers come out and say, what did we do? What did we learn? And even NASCAR might come out and say, we didn't do anything. We didn't make any progress. More so the drivers say that. NASCAR obviously is going to try and promote the product the best they can. But I think my point is that when you go out and do a 2 or 3 day test and you come back with, even if it's months later for a race and you make no major progress, that's concerning. And I think you're right. I think you hit the nail on the head. Overall, I think Phoenix wasn't a horrible race. I mean, we had action. We had a couple accidents. We had a battle for the lead where Hamlin slid up into Reddick and goes around. But I think overall, it was a solid race, but it was rough. And I do want to say real quick, I know I started this segment what feels like 45 minutes ago, but I know I started this segment by saying, is Phoenix the worst track on the schedule? And I do want to quickly amend that by saying that I don't think it's Phoenix and the racetrack that's the issue. I think it's the product or the cars on the track. I think the track itself, what they've done with the reconfiguration of moving the finish line, building the new grandstands, I think what they've done with the facility is amazing. You know, it makes it so I want to go out there and visit the track. Like, I want to go experience a race there just because of the facility. You know, it's the same thing when I went to the Daytona Rolex race in 2021 or 2022, and half of the excitement of going to the race was just to explore the new Daytona grandstands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like, I think that what Phoenix has done for the fans, for the experience, it's exciting. And I think they've done a great job with that. But I think to kind of go off of what you said, I think the product that NASCAR is bringing to the track is what's failing the track. I don't think it's Phoenix that's the issue. I think it's the cars.
Next gen car.
Right. Right.
And that's what it goes back to say, the next gen car. I mean, this is the third year now with the Gen 7s, right? That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They've changed the car so many times over the last several years. So I can't keep track anymore.
It's technically so the Gen 7.
I don't want to say next gen anymore. So the Gen 7s is the third year of the Gen 7s, and it's still a topic of discussion is, how can NASCAR improve this car? I get the first year, obviously, it's the first, like 2022, first season of the new car, obviously, test them things out. Second year changes, but this is the third year, and it's three races in. Daytona was good, Atlanta was good. But the biggest problem with this next gen car has been the entertainment factor on short tracks.
I think there's two things here. One, I kind of touched on it earlier with the aerodynamics. I'll go back to that in a minute. But I think when they were developing the car at the time, it was mile and a half tracks that were the snooze fests. And I think NASCAR said, all right, we need to fix that. And they focused heavily on that, which there's nothing wrong with that, except for when you then forget to also work on and a short track, and even you could even say a road course car as well. You know, I think Daytona and Talladega, now even Atlanta, it doesn't matter what you throw at it, if it's the Gen 6 or the Gen 5 or even the Gen 7, I think they're going to put on a good race because it's super speedway drafting.
Right. So I don't think any car, like you just said, will change how super speedways will race.
The only thing I will say that might change is NASCAR's Gen 1, where they were running like the convertibles with like the least aerodynamic cars you can find to race. I think then you might change it. But I think once NASCAR kind of went over to that I don't want
to. Maybe NASCAR should just go to open. Maybe Cup Series should just be open wheel.
Let's just run the modifieds. Let's just
making the modifieds.
Next week we're running the next gen car, but this week we're running the mods. But I think the other side of that is the aerodynamics. I mean, you mentioned it. The four car goes around because he touched the apron a little bit, which if I did not catch that, but now that you're saying it, knowing aerodynamics and being around the sport as much as I have been, the aerodynamics, once he hit the apron, it upset the car, which caused him to go around because it unglued it from the racetrack.
So short track racing is like almost everyone's favorite other than super speedway racing. Because, I mean, think about it. I'm about to use grassroot racing for an example. Mm-hmm. Woo! Look how many short tracks are in New Hampshire. Lee, Hudson, Claremont, Star, Monadnock, mm-hmm. Seekonk, and Mass. I mean,
White Mountains. Can't forget that one.
Yeah, White Mountains. Wissacusset in Maine.
Yep, Wiscasset.
Wiscasset. Cut that out.
I'm leaving that in there.
Cut that part out.
Wiscasset. That's going to be the soundbite for this week. Anyway,
that speedway in Maine, and even down south. I mean, even in New Smyrna in Florida, or Thompson in Connecticut, Stafford. I mean, all around the country, a lot of states have grassroots short track racing, and arguably that might be more popular than the Cup Series now. Because
there was
a lot of people like this next gen car on track and all that. And
I mean, there was a time where my friends would rather go sit at a dirt track, spend $30 in gas and food and tickets to go sit at the dirt track on a Friday night than watch the Truck Series race. Mm-hmm. You know, and even the Cup Series race. You know, like, I have a friend who lives in Vermont. He would rather go to the local short track and watch the races there, and he wouldn't even care who won the Cup race. It doesn't matter. And that was because at the time, you know, they were racing at Texas, or they were racing at Charlotte, or they were at Vegas or Kansas, and it was just another cookie cutter 1.5 mile oval that was boring. But I get what you're saying, and I agree with it. I think at the end of the day, what the issue is that these cars are too stuck to the ground, because it makes in my opinion, it also makes sense. The tires don't matter if you're still applying the same amount of force to them. You know, the spoiler doesn't matter if the front end is still stuck to the ground as much as it is. So I don't know. It makes me wonder if maybe that's the aspect or the angle that NASCAR needs to look at here. So. It just, they got to do something. I mean, the fact that Denny Hamlin bounces off of Reddick, spins out, but then he puts four tires on it and drives away. It's like, hold on a minute. Mm-hmm. You know, five years ago, he would have needed a new fender. He would have needed a new this. You know,
Denny Hamlin didn't hit anything.
He hit Reddick.
No, he didn't.
He slid up the racetrack and made contact with Reddick. You're going to make me look this up on YouTube, aren't you?
I'm going to look it up too. I don't think.
Notice how he trailed off on that thought, folks.
I don't think he hit Reddick. And if he did, it was very soft.
No, I mean, oh, here we go.
I have it on right now. I have it right now.
Me too.
Yeah, he did. He lightly tapped Reddick.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe he lightly tapped.
Besides that, he didn't hit anything. He didn't hit the inside outside wall or anything.
No. I know that, but he did when he slid up the racetrack. He did make contact with Reddick's left rear.
But which... I guess it goes to show you the aerodynamics, where usually the Gen 6 car, Hamlin doesn't spin out there. Mm-hmm. He just bounces right off the stage straight. He came off the track and one little tap to Reddick, and there he goes. He's spinning out of That was turn two.
Yep. Yeah. So old three and four, new one and two.
Yeah, that's why I had to think about that. Because so turn two, he spun and after lightly tapping Reddick.
Now, real quick, I'm now looking at other highlights. Can we talk about the John Hunter Nemechek, Joey Logano situation?
Yes.
Did John Hunter Nemechek just forget his break? Or did Joey Logano check up sooner than he normally has? I mean, Logano, we know John how Logano Hunter felt Nemechek, about it.
John Hunter Nemechek forgot what pedal was the gas. Was the break.
All right. And that's coming from a Denny Hamlin fan, ladies and gentlemen. Denny Hamlin fan who is somewhat bred to not like Joey Logano. He's with Team Logano in this case.
I wouldn't say bred because I was never a Denny Hamlin fan growing up. I used to be Jeff Gordon.
Oh man, real 180 there. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But no, I mean Joey Logano comes out and admits, or not admits, but says, you know, he needs to John Hunter Nemechek needs to, you know.
I was going to say, Joey Logano would never say something was his fault, even if it was. So.
Steps up and says, you know, he needs to admit it. He needs to admit that, be a man, blah, 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 blah. But I don't know. I didn't get a chance to really review it much. But it makes me, it just to play devil's advocate, did Logano check up sooner than he normally would have? Or did Hunter Nemechek just miss his mark? We never heard from Hunter Nemechek's side of things. But I mean, besides those wrecks and the contact and things like that, I mean, like I said, in the NASCAR terminology, Phoenix's race was a solid race. When it comes to our viewing, you hit the nail on the head. You know, so I don't know, but I think Christopher Bell does a great job of just being able to dominate the race at the end there. Great job by Roush Fenway Keselowski, two cars in the top 10, if not the top 5. Doing a great job finishing there strong. And talk about how quickly NASCAR can change. You have Kyle Larson go out and dominate Las Vegas. Where did he finish this week? 15 to 20. So talk about the roller coaster that is NASCAR. Hey, we're gonna be doing this next week. Just kidding. But all right, well, Jordan, any other thoughts here on the Cup Series race or anything like that?
I do not.
All right, so looking ahead. We go back to the high bank concrete oval that is known as Bristol Motor Speedway. No dirt on it this year.
I'm going to miss Bristol dirt. I'm just kidding.
No, I mean, that was on the bucket list of things I wanted to go see.
Well, you can't know.
And I was going to say, this year was the year I was going to go see it on the dirt. And then they're like, just kidding.
I'm not going to Bristol now.
No, we're still going to try and go to Bristol. But then other financial stuff came up. But we had to be adults, Jordan. This is crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
No, that's why I said all those good old financial problems.
Exactly. But anyway, so good racing coming up this weekend. Xfinity Cup Truck Series is not there.
No. It's trucks are there. Xfinity is off.
Oh, I got that mixed up.
Xfinity does not race this weekend.
Oh, I got that mixed up. I made a mistake.
Trucks are on Saturday night at 8. Cups are Sunday at 3:30. Xfinity doesn't race until next week at COTA.
Right.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Did trucks go to COTA last year?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm going to say they're going to COTA again. COTA again.
Yeah. All three series ran there last year. It was doubleheader Saturday, Cup Series race on Sunday. We'll talk about that next week. but no, I mean, I'm excited to see what Bristol brings back to the high banks on a Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon, not a Saturday night. So should be a good race. Who's your prediction for there for the Cup race?
Denny Hamlin.
Not a bad pick.
Just because he's usually good at Bristol and he just won the night race.
Not a bad pick. I'm going to go with, I don't know, I was going to say, I want to say Hamlin, maybe Elliott. I was going to say Harvick, but he's up in the booth now.
Maybe Harvick runs, you never know.
Yeah, maybe he comes out of retirement. But
maybe he runs best stolen lanes. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Maybe Josh Berry has like has an illness and like Heinrich going back in the pool.
Bad burrito the night before. No, I think it should be a good race. I mean, Logano's always strong there. Keselowski's historically strong there. I mean, I keep forgetting the one big name, Kyle Busch. He's always strong.
Oh yeah, there. Kyle Busch.
So you know what? I'm gonna pick Kyle Busch. That's gonna be my winner. So we'll see how that goes. But So, folks, we want to say thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. We went into a little bit of overtime. But as Jordan said, next week we'll be together in person. So we'll be able to actually throw things at each other. So that should be fun. And then going forward, we're going to have some new...
Why would you tell them that?
What?
Throw why would you tell them that?
Tell them what? Yeah. Throw things at each other?
Yeah. Why would you tell them that?
They're
going to be concerned for next week's episode.
It's fine. Just listen very closely. If you hear pins get thrown and things like that, then you know that it's not going well. No, but it'll be fun. Excited to do our first show together in person, and then we have some new technology coming in to hopefully shore up his distance calling coming in on the Zoom lines. But I want to say thank you for dealing with our little switch of one Zoom to another there 20 minutes ago. But yeah, so Jordan, if you don't have anything else to say,
I do not.
Then I want to say thank you so much for tuning in. For Jordan Jenkins, my name's Devin Poslesny. You've been listening to Racing Hotspot. We'll see you all soon for the next week's episode.